Welcome to the Grace-Based Living Podcast by New Creation Church. My name is Christy. We're so glad you're here. Parents, this is our parenting series for parents of all seasons. Whether you're a first-time parent, a parent of multiple children, a parent of young adults, or even a grandparent, we trust there's a Rhema word for you in your season of parenting. Be blessed and empowered by Pastor Matthews and his guest speakers as they share real-life experiences and practical handles on parenting through the seasons. This is episode 2 of our series on restfully preparing for primary school. Here's a quick recap of what went on in episode 1. Success is not defined purely by academic excellence. Good success is defined by the Word of God. It brings with it peace, restfulness, and sustained victories for you and your children. In wanting to raise children who are well-equipped with character traits and values to honor and steward the God-given success in their lives, recognize that we cannot, but He can and He will. So in today's episode, let's talk about the truly practical things. There is still a choice to be made. Our heart as parents is to give our children the best head start they can get to kick off the first leg of their formal education journey. So how do we go about it restfully? Stay tuned as we lay it out for you. Hi, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen. Welcome back to our podcast.
Hi, it's good to be back.
So first up, let's ease into the topic with something lighthearted. Was there ever a gift that you thought was a great idea for your child, but turned out not so great for them? Gary and Chinfen?
I'm not sure if that's the exact same category as your question, Christy, but I recall that we were young and enthusiastic parents back
then. I love
enthusiasm. We still are actually young.
And enthusiastic, don't leave that out.
And enthusiastic, yes, but a little bit wiser. So we jumped on the bandwagon of believing that Lego sets are the best gifts or great gifts for our kids.
To unleash creativity.
Yes, because we were told that Lego can train their minds, allow creativity to flow, and allows them to build things from scratch. After spending $100+ during a sale, of course without consulting our children.
During a sale was good.
During a sale, yes, thankfully. Both our kids never took to Lego, despite us encouraging them.
Wow.
My son preferred a simple string over Lego almost always. He tied strings to every corner of his room to build spider web mazes. And my daughter preferred, since young, doodling, drawing and writing. The closest to Lego that they ever took were magic beads. So they found plenty of other opportunities or other economical toys and ways to enjoy. So much so that Gary and I used to be very thankful and joke that our children are quite low maintenance.
Nice.
So you know what turned out to be, what we thought were great gifts didn't quite get used.
So what happened to it?
So we gave them away. We tried to play with it for a while, but we are also not
Lego. I'm not into Lego.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I guess it flows from the parents.
So if you were not into Lego, what were you thinking when you thought your kids were into Lego? Because you listen to someone else, right?
Yes.
I thought. And we always thought that, you know, other parents say that Lego sets are good for the kids. Yes.
It trains their mind. Real for today's parenting, you know, because social media is talking about all the different forms of parenting and all the different toys and things you can buy and do to engage your child.
Yeah,
it's all over social media.
And you buy into the idea, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, but we never took
And we forget to ask the question, what is suited for
children?
That's right.
That is so right up this alley here today.
I think that FOMO, fear of, you know,
missing out.
So you feel like you need to avail the variety of toys.
But you're just doing your best as parents, right?
Yes.
We all are.
We all are. Like most other parents out there, there were many harebrained schemes and ideas that we thought would work, but after discussion and prayer as parents, we found it was less than productive, and thankfully we didn't embark on it, didn't spend $100+ on a sale when actually Lego is much more costly
expensive
than that.
Yes.
But this one I remember is really timeless. Thinking that our love could be expressed by the purchase of expensive toys that will pique our children's curiosity, teach them something. We thought expensive toys would also last. Because we believe in lasting gifts.
Oh, yes, the lasting. Oh, man.
Yes, we had all these things
told us. But they spoil almost immediately.
Exactly. They spoil exactly, right? Only to find out later that after a few hours or days, these same toys would be ignored and they would seek out something that is new, that is absolutely mundane and ordinary. For example, the cardboard box that the toy came in. I mean, that's how our kids used to it. Or the bed sheet that is strung between their beds and they became their tent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These simple ideas that brought them hours of fun. And it had no cost.
Yes.
So we learned that creativity is the best gift that God has given to our children. And it comes from within.
Nice.
And not from some expensive toys.
Yes.
So the learning point for us parents is children don't need too much to be happy. Their happiness tends to revolve around happy relationships.
Yeah.
Wow. And the fun for the moment, not the fun after, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't apply to just children who are of age, like primary school or secondary school. I would speak from experience right from the onset when you have a child. The child just wants to be with you.
That's true.
Yeah, you buy them toys. I mean,
so true.
I shall speak for myself, right? I bought my child toys, books, all the different things that, you know, social media tells me will be good for my child to engage my child. But she looks at it and she doesn't play with it. And she goes after my tissue paper. She asks for it daily. She goes after the wet wipes.
Oh, wow.
And she goes after the remote controls.
Wow.
Yeah. What about all the toys that we laid out for her in the living room? We've transformed the living room for her, but the tissue paper it is. It's so much more fun wiping the floor, wiping the mirrors, because that's what she sees us doing.
Correct. They saw their parents doing it and they were emulating it, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, dad or mom will be using the remote control and said, this must be fun. I press here and then
there's
TV comes
on. There's so many buttons and sounds.
There's so many buttons.
Yeah. But I think the truth is that the lesson learned for us, for my husband and I, is that my child just wants me to spend time with her.
So true.
Right? My child wants me to spend time unpacking the thing with her. Mm. Because the toys are there not for me to play, so I don't play it, and therefore she doesn't play. Oh. Right? So it actually takes time for me to sit down and play the toy with her. But I think this reminds me of how our relationship with God works, right? God gave us children as a gift.
True.
And in the Bible, right, in Psalms 127, verse 3, it says that children are His best gifts for us.
Wow. Man.
So if they are His best gifts and I don't know how to use this gift a lot of times, then perhaps I should actually be turning to Him and allowing Him to do this with me, right? Yes. I really often feel at a loss, and I believe a lot of parents today feel like they're at a loss with the entire parenting journey. So, Pastor, could you shed some light with us on how this looks like practically? How do we allow God to come in to unpack this gift with us?
I love what you said, Christy. You said children are a gift from the Lord. As you were talking about buying gifts for our children, I really feel that creativity comes from within. It is the Lord that works His gifts into our children when they are secretly made in their mother's womb. Mm. That's what it says in Psalms 139, isn't it? It's interesting, the Bible says the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah and the Apostle Paul were called and anointed from their mother's wombs. And God worked the gift into their lives and God works them out.
Amen.
He works it in, He works them out.
Amen.
The Lord unpacks the gifts in our children when the parents seek Him for it. You know, I love it when parents go out there and they say, Lord, what is this gift that You've given me, this child? What is in the package, Lord? Open this package up to me. And I know it sounds almost magical when the Lord unpacks the gifts in our children when the parents seek Him for it. As parents, we go back to the Creator and seek wisdom from Him concerning the child that He gave us and the gifts that He has worked into our children. It is as if we go back to the manufacturer. That's how I see it. To get a download of
true,
the product
right?
handbook.
Mm. Yeah.
I know this generation sometimes don't read the product handbooks. But I still am from the older generation.
I love product handbooks.
I love it. Exactly. If I buy a watch, I want to read the product handbook, right? So we go back to the manufacturer, get to download the product handbook, knowing that the product, which in this case is our children, helps us to better enjoy the gifts too. And when you know the product through the product handbook, you don't tend to abuse the product. Or the word abuse is to wrongly use the product.
Mm,
so to best do this, parents, we need to connect upwards into the giver. That's our Lord and Savior. Before we can connect downwards better to our children. And it's interesting, we're naming this podcast, How to Give a Head Start to Your Children. Again, what better way to give your child a head start in life than by going truly to the head of your house?
Wow.
Which I believe should be and will always be our Lord and Savior. We go to Him as the head of the house. We turn to Him for directions. And when we do that, we give our children a head start. Amen?
Amen.
And also just another point about connecting upwards. When you connect upwards, God causes the download to happen into your life, you know. It's interesting that we know that children are a gift from above. And if God gave us these children, the Lord alone will manage these children.
Yes.
He gives you children, He will manage it. Is that what it is?
Mm.
He starts and He completes. He's the owner and we are just the stewards. Shouldn't we be going back to the owner for this? Mm. What strengths do we want to see in our children? Even those strengths come from the maker. And you're in a position when you go upwards to understand those strengths. When we allow the Lord to download into our hearts what our children are, the gifts are, we won't be put into places where we have to lean on ourselves and put a demand on ourselves or put a demand on our children. We put a demand on God.
Mm.
And we've been well taught in church that it is a God who supplies.
Yeah. Amen.
When we put a demand on Him, He comes forth with the answers.
Yeah. Mm.
And parents, what better place and time to do it than to do it with our kids?
Yeah.
And finally, I was just thinking, many times we will not take the decision upon ourselves when we want to do something. We will end up going back to the owner to say, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? It becomes a life of dependence. And that's what parenting should be.
Yeah,
a life
that,
of dependence
reminder, yes.
on the Abba Father.
Yeah.
Not a life of dependence on yourself.
Yeah.
Because again, He gave us
yeah.
the gift.
Yeah.
And if you're truly dependent on a God who supplies the provision and the wherewithal for
Amen.
Our kids, He will do what is necessary
yeah.
going forward at the right time
yeah.
and at the right place.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And He knows how best to manifest
yeah.
His fullness.
Yes.
Yeah, this is so good, Pastor. It's so liberating because I think in today's day and age, we are so hardwired to depend on ourselves to solve all the problems. Because
mm.
which manufacturer has time for you? You know, like when something spoils, when you don't know how to use the thing,
yeah.
which manufacturer has time for you?
Right.
But God has all the time for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
You know, I really love what you said, Pastor, that God gave us this child. God worked the gift in our children and God works them out.
Amen.
Right? And God is the one doing everything. So
Amen.
Our part is really just to lean into Him, is to be connected to the Holy Spirit Wi-Fi.
Mm.
Mm.
To allow
it.
The download to happen.
Holy
if
Spirit
we are
Wi-Fi.
Not connected to the Wi-Fi, the download cannot happen.
Wow.
Right?
Right?
I love the analogy, Pastor. Can we get more specific with this? I know it'll be helpful for the parents out there if we could spell it out for them in the light of our topic on restfully preparing for primary school. What is this download we are referring to? Is it just the Bible, like the manual? How does this apply to choosing the right school for our primary one child?
Wow. Interesting. The Bible talks a lot about visions,
mm-hmm.
faith pictures.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Without a vision or a revelation, my people perish.
Yeah.
Yes.
And God thought so much about visions or faith pictures that He told the prophet Habakkuk, I'm giving you a vision, write it down. If it's not important to the Lord, why would He even want to say write it down? It says, write down the vision so that it'll cause the people who read it to run with it.
And God wrote it down
and
in
God,
the Bible.
Correct. And God
us.
Wrote down the vision of how He sees ourselves
yes.
as a parent to His child
yes.
in the scriptures.
Yes.
In the full volume of the book.
If God writes it down, what about us, right?
Correct. If God writes it down for us to read, what about us? He's saying, here's a faith picture of how yeah. I see you.
Yes.
So again, God must have thought it really important for a vision to be written down. Mm. A vision is a faith picture
yeah.
that you can believe in together mm. with your child.
Oh, yes.
And that's what we want to do. We want to bring them into the process. So how does the process look like? First of all, we need to know what God is actively doing
mm.
in our child's life. Parents, you need to know this. What is God doing in our child's life? And you can't go anywhere else except to the scriptures for this.
Yes.
Again, it says in Isaiah 54, verse 13, my favorite verse, all your children shall be taught by the Lord and great will be their peace.
Amen.
So first of all, we need to know our children are taught by the Lord. They are taught of the scriptures of the Lord. God promises that their peace shall be great. And I love this other verse of scripture, Jeremiah 29, 11, which again was our pondering verse for episode 1. If you didn't catch it, it says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the Bible says, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that a great faith picture? That God says He'll give us a future and a hope. God plans to prosper us. Is that right? So let me just say this. Rachel and I asked the Lord for a verse for each of our children so that we remember it. And we'll make it personal and make it their personal verse as they grow up as well. So it not only helped us as parents to vision their future, it was also told to them so that it'll vision their future. How good is it when we know that every word that goes out from the mouth of God does not return empty,
yeah.
but He will do it.
Yes.
And what more when you throw in a verse of scripture and says, hey, dear, my precious child, my precious boy, my precious daughter, this is the verse of scripture God has given us. And we believe alongside them, knowing that God will bring it to pass. Another verse of scripture that I think is really good is Romans 8:28. And sometimes you overquote it, but it's such a good verse of scripture when it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. So we can put them in school. We can give them an education, extra classes and all that sort of thing. It's interesting and important for the parent to know, despite our mistakes, God will work out everything for His good.
Amen.
And
Amen.
For the child's good. Amen. And for the family's good. Mm. That puts so much of confidence in parenting. It throws the onus back from us to the Lord. And it's a brilliant faith picture or a vision to hold as you bring the family forward. So first, you need to know and find out what God is doing in your children's life. Mm. Second, according to the process, is to have a faith picture. It could be a Bible verse. It could be a Bible character. It could be a Bible story that the Lord has put on the hearts of you as parents. And so I'm going to share this. You know, Rachel and I shared a faith picture of a Bible character for each of our children. And we gave it to them in their baptismal name. So we've had, in our children, we've got an Esther, who's our firstborn, a David for our secondborn, a Daniel in our thirdborn, and a Sarah in our fourthborn. And it's interesting because we put it into their baptismal names. Mm. So this is their middle names, right? Mm. So that they'll always remember in their six-year journey of primary school, of their many-year journey as a child, of the family's future. And it also gives us a good faith picture of where it'll be for parenting. That I can see a David, I can see a Daniel, I can call it forth.
Yeah.
Is that right? And so and as each of these Bible characters was successful, we reminded ourselves that our children's destiny will be the same.
Mm.
Every time they came across these names, they would remember how the Lord has called them out. And I just want to say that the Bible is rich with pictures and analogies that we can draw from. Psalms 144 verse 12, it says, because our sons are as plants, becoming great in their youth, our daughters like stones carved out in the temple of God. They are polished. They are made in the likeness of a palace. Can you imagine these rich analogies and
so
pictures?
Visual.
It's so
painting
visual.
A visual picture and
the
image.
Bible is full of visual pictures.
Yes.
That's why. Why is it that way? Because God wants to give us a vision.
Yes.
A faith picture we can lean in when our families can lean in. We've also noticed that in the scriptures that what the parents saw are emphasized in their children. This is beautiful. I was just so amazed when I read this and I'll end with this. It says that Jacob saw Joseph different. And what he saw Joseph became.
Mm.
Wow.
That's so powerful.
Wow.
Jacob saw Joseph different. Where's the verse of scripture for this? Genesis 37. Now Israel, which is Jacob's name, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was born to him at his old age and he made him an ornate robe for him. Interesting. He saw him different, called out the difference and Joseph became that different.
Yeah.
Is this the only example in the Bible? No. We see this in the story of Hannah.
Yeah.
Hannah saw Samuel as special.
Yeah.
This is a child born to her when she had no children. She looked to the Lord for a child. And the Bible says, I prayed, 1 Samuel 1 verse 27, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked for so that now I can give this child back to the Lord for his whole life will be given over to the Lord and they worship the Lord there. Samuel became the best prophet Israel had ever had. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Whatever Hannah saw in Samuel, Samuel became.
Yes.
And Hannah deliberately, willingly gave Samuel to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you give something to the Lord, guess what? You cannot get it back the same way.
Yes. Yes.
You give your child to the Lord, you get back much more.
Mm-hmm.
You give him five loaves and two fish, he multiplies it over and gives you 12 baskets.
Yes.
There's nothing that we can give to the Lord, including our children, including the gifts He has worked into the children to the Lord without Him coming back and giving us much more in return. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah.
God saw Solomon different as well. God called him Jedidiah.
Yes.
And the word Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord.
Yep.
God called him out.
Yeah.
And did Solomon turn out different? Absolutely.
Mm. And I love like Hannah's story where, you know, Hannah actually honored God.
Wow.
Right? She said like, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted what I asked of him.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. And so Hannah acknowledged that there's God's portion in this.
Mm.
Right? God gave her the child and so she gave it back to God.
Yes.
And actually, how many of us prayed for our child? prayed for children to be given to us.
Mm.
Wow.
Right? Children are a miracle. And I love what you said earlier about how like, our children will be taught by the Lord. It doesn't mean that we don't teach them, but actually in us leaning into God, we are teaching them that they should also be leaning into God.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
so and I love the pictures that we are painting because we are not just painting pictures for parents to have a vision for themselves, to have a vision for their children, but it's also for parents, right, to teach their children to lean into God, to have a vision. And what better pictures to rely on in their lives, you know, in life challenges and everything than God's word, than God's pictures, than God's visions.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, going back to the analogy of Wi-Fi, we are hotspotting our children. Right? We're hotspotting like our children to God, right? Yeah, and it's so beautiful because then they're never too young to learn about God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never too young to know that, hey, actually, there's a Holy Spirit in them. And through hotspotting, they know about the Holy Spirit Wi-Fi. Wow. And then they will gradually understand how to let the Wi-Fi download the manual, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Chinmin and Gary, what do you have to say about this also?
I love the way Pastor put it about Jacob saying about Joseph and then Joseph see in himself and he became.
Wow.
Even for us, the vision that we had, right, was actually anchored on the story of Joseph as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Because we just love it, you know. I mean, God was with Joseph and he was a successful man.
Whether
in a pit, you know, in the prison, in Potiphar's house, and then in the palace.
Yeah.
Because the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
He's a successful man. Right? So let's not give too much weight on the selection of which school to go to. I'm not belittling it. I know it's important, right?
Yes.
But I think most important is what is the vision that we see in our child?
Mm.
Because the Lord is with him. He will be successful.
Amen.
Right? Mm. And the other verse that we anchor on was actually from Deuteronomy 28. He shall be blessed coming in, going out. He shall be the head and not the tail.
Yes. In the city, in the country.
Yes. Yeah. It's literally everywhere. So success is not just in public. We have to look at it. It's first and foremost, right? Private life.
Yes.
And just look at Joseph.
Yes.
Right.
His private life, because he knew that God is always with him, right? Mm. He ran away from Potiphar's.
That's so good.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a vision that we have. And because of that, we don't have to enter the rat race. What the world is after.
Yes.
We are in the world, but not of the world. So when we as parents put God first, our children will catch our spirit. Then they will learn to look to God for His supply, directions, and even in schools, CCA,
in
times to come.
And the choices that they need to make in the future, because there will be many difficult and huge choices that they will need to learn to make.
And they become hotspot as well.
Yes.
And the beauty about it is that they will learn to be wise to make good choices, but they will not depend on the choice alone. God is the one who makes them the head and not the tail everywhere and anywhere.
Yes, wow. So good. And I love, I mean, just to add on about Joseph's story, Joseph's story was not just one of private success, it was also public success in that people could see it, right? Like the Bible says that people around Joseph saw that the Lord was with him.
That's
and that everything that he put his hand to, the Lord caused it to prosper.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine prospering in a world and that the world can see this prosperity?
Yes.
We all want that for our children.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and we will get that when we lean and trust
on
God.
Amen.
Yes. You know, I love what you shared also, Gary, about how like when we put God first, our children will catch our spirit. Some things are just caught and not taught.
Yes.
And our children are always catching our spirit. So if our spirit man is frazzled, you know, and worried about like which choice to make, what are they learning? What are they catching?
Mm.
Yeah, we want to be restful. We want to be restful in making this choice that is really important for them. And we want them to catch the restful spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we named this podcast series Restfully Preparing for Primary School.
Right.
We want to be restful parents. I'm reminded of something you shared in episode one, Pastor. God gave us our children. What He starts, He completes. He will ensure success because He overcame defeat. So our part is really to connect with Him and make the vision plain. And when we know that the results are not in our hands, we can restfully make the choice and give God the reins. So about the choice to be made, let's really go into the details of that, right? There are honestly so many things the world would say to consider. How do we go about choosing?
We touched on this briefly in episode one. And so for this episode, we thought that we should go to the more practical side after settling in our heart to choose God's way first.
Yes.
Right? So practically, right? We would like to drive home the point again. It's a 6-year journey. It's not a P1 registration. Yes. You know, it's 6 year.
That's right.
Right. Pastor, I'm always practical about this because I have to think about the 6 year.
Right? Thinking about the early mornings where he wakes up and says, yeah.
So it's important to lay the foundation for our children. I love how Proverbs 22 verse 6 put it, you know, train up a child in the way he should go.
Yes. Mm.
And when he is old, he will not depart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. So identify the school that you believe can partner you well and ideally can provide you with an environment that aligns with your vision, your values for your children. Right. In Singapore, we do believe that all schools are good schools. Perhaps, right? Just different weightage in areas that matter more to you.
That makes it a better school for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. So having said that, right, it's not to say that you should choose a school rationally that is at the far end of Singapore from where you stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are practical considerations that you should know. The most important one, to me, distance.
Yes.
Because for a 6-year journey, I think distance is important to everyone.
Yes. I cherish my sleep. Right. So
I think we all do.
And their sleep.
Derry, where were you when I was making a decision concerning my firstborn? This is what I needed to hear.
Oh.
Thanks for saying it now.
You have gone ahead of us.
You need to think about distance, Pastor. Distance.
Yeah, I put them at the furthest corner of Singapore.
Wow. How brave you were.
I wish I had this good advice. Yeah. Oh, man.
So do make decisions, right, while being aware of the implications so that you can sustain the long journey in a restful and peaceful manner. I have to emphasize the long...
Pun intended.
Okay, for example, I know of a friend of mine. So he lives in the East just because they were alumni to a school in the West. So they decided to put the child in the school in the West.
Wow.
It's a long way to
go. So he was telling me, no, bro, I wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Does the child wake up?
About the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, because it takes almost like 40-45 minutes to reach the school. It took a toll on them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So after, I think it was 9 to 10 months, said that it's enough.
I'm so done.
I'm so done with it, okay? I'm going to transfer my child to the school that's just beside my house.
Yeah. Any school, right? It was just it's any not just school any that he school. Could get into.
Yeah. So after the change, right? After the transfer, he said that, heaven came down.
Oh, wow.
Heaven came down.
Yeah.
Glory filled their souls.
Yes.
That's restful parenting.
Exactly.
And peace filled
their homes. Instead of 5:30 waking him up, right, he only woke up at 6:45 and got to go to school at about 7:15.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so important.
Peace and rest came in.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
So important.
Yeah, so do make decision based on that because this is not just about P1.
Yeah.
Think about it. You know, when it gets to P3, you need to think about a CCA.
Yes,
it's a good point.
Yeah.
And
extra training sessions that might happen.
That's true.
And possibly on a weekend.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the school organizes additional lessons for them too.
Correct.
So who's going to pick up the child after school?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, who's going to take care of the child after school? There are really a lot of implications.
Yeah.
You know, and what about siblings? If one child goes to a school in the West and you stay in the East and then the other child doesn't get into that school, then what happens?
Yeah.
So many good considerations.
Yeah, it's so many. So... you know, what are the considerations that you take into account when you were thinking for your children, Chinfen?
Yeah, I mean, distance was one key, one for us, because we wanted to be practical. But we also significantly considered the bent of the child.
Mm.
So is the school suitable? Does it provide the right environment? Just to give a couple of examples, I think we spoke about one of our kids not being very competitive. So would it have been ideal to place her in a competitive branded school, for example? The other one of our kid really, really loves sport. There are some schools that encourage 2 CCAs, for example, or that they invest a lot into certain sports. If you do know that, you know, your child is very actively pursuing a particular area of sports and would love to give him much more exposure, then I think the right environment, not thinking about DSA, that's way too advanced, right? I know many parents think way too advanced, but I think it's just about having the nice environment for them to explore and not having to send outside enrichments just to give them that opportunity. Or music, for example, or maybe even STEM. I think the other one, it's under the bent of the child, would be how academic is your child. Would it be better to give him or her more time and space to develop versus enrolling them into a school that places a premium on academics? For example, I know some schools offer higher Chinese predominantly to all students.
They offer higher Chinese at primary school?
They do.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Some schools actually.
Wow. Yeah.
Some schools start as early as P3. Some schools offer higher Chinese at P5. So in the first place, we have to think about our family setup as well as, whether the child takes to it. Yeah. In the case of special needs as well, I think we've had a couple of friends who really wanted to consider a school that had been known to be very patient, have allied setups, as well as nurturing culture to support that.
And that applies not just to autism, right?
Yes,
it also applies
course.
To like learning disabilities.
That's right. That's right. Yes. So I think the bent of the child is something to give weight to. The other area that we thought would be really important is what do you value as a family? We do know of some parents who were very certain about passing, heritage or culture through schools. For us, for example, we thought about, do we want to make sure that they get exposed to multiracial, multicultural environment? So if you think about perhaps a school that offers purely higher Chinese, you would naturally expect that the makeup would be a bit more streamlined. Mm. If you have a preference for co-ed versus single gender schools, I think that's one thing to think about. The pros and cons of what they get exposed to or not get exposed to. Some prefer mission school. It's not saying that all Christians do have to attend a mission school.
Yeah.
I think, we do have to consider the kind of, the roots of the school or maybe the background.
Yeah.
Particularly one associates a lot more with some Chinese religious roots, for example, then you could still have those conversations, but you will have to have those conversations from P1 to P6 and just making sure that, you are able to support them growing in the right direction. Mm. So I think the key thing is to ask yourself what are the beliefs that you're associating with your preferences and try to stress test them with godly counsel.
Mm.
The other area would be really just about practicality. So the chances or the ease of entrance is one to be considered. Is it near enough? Because naturally, if you're within 1K, you have a higher chance. Do you have alumni? It is good to be aware, but you don't have to depend on that because, God opens doors for them and we can trust that God puts our kids at the right place.
Yes.
And the right time, right?
Amen.
They're born in the right year and they can get the opportunities that you desire.
Yes. I just want to interject here. Like earlier you mentioned about what do you value? Mm. I think I would include even things like, what do you value in your family?
That's
Is it family time? Is it like, rest?
Good.
Prioritizing rest. So in that sense, when we look at the school, we also need to look at the programs that
That's
they offer.
True.
Do
That's
they have
true.
A lot of additional programs outside of school hours that will take away more time from your child away from the family, away from like whatever you value in terms of maybe spending time with the grandparents? Parents, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah, so these are things that we want to talk a lot more about in the next episode. So stay tuned, parents.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And Gary, maybe you want to share a bit more about the few considerations around family that we talked through previously?
Yeah. When we were selecting a school for our children, some of the things actually came into mind is like, what will happen to them after school?
Yeah.
So how the family support?
Good point. Yes.
How does family support comes in? Like, does the school even have after school care? Is it within the school compound itself?
What time do they end school? Like lessons?
About 1:30.
Some school 1:30, some 1:45.
Parents are mostly working still at that hour.
Right.
So who's going to pick
them
up, right? How are they going to get to the after school care?
And so imagine P1, 1:30.
Wow.
They'll be really hungry.
Wow.
They just want to get home
man.
Fast, having a long day. So those are things
And
to
they can't go
about.
Home by themselves.
That's right.
Of course, right?
So these are considerations that we need to have.
Yes.
If within the school compound doesn't have after school care, then you have to look for one that's outside. Then it's also important that the outside environment, because we always talk about the influences. Also a private school care. I'm not saying that.
What will they get exposed to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Manage social media, for example.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly, right? So if you have grandparents to support you, that's good as well. But also be mindful. They are there to care for your child. Not to look into whether they have done their homework. So we need to be mindful. We need to manage the relationship.
And grandparents being grandparents are always very doting to their grandchildren.
That's true.
Yeah, so whether, they will spend their time playing and enjoying their grandparents, which is good, or they'll spend their time doing academic work. Yeah, that we wouldn't know.
Exactly. So the other thing we also need to be in our consideration was that what does the school focus on?
Yeah.
Are they more academic or are they more holistic in their teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Being in Singapore, the ultimate first exam, right, is PSLE.
Yes.
So when it comes to the later part of the year, right, we need to be able to help the child.
Mm.
So the involvement of the parents are important.
Mm.
So we have to ask ourselves, are we, the family is make up for this?
Mm.
Or do we have to keep sending them for enrichment class? Our son, he will say, nope, I do not want.
I don't want to go for tuition.
Yeah.
So the other consideration, especially for us, right, because we have a daughter and a son. So when we consider the school, do you want to consider a same gender school or not? Because it will ease the second child. The sibling will have a direct entry.
But if it's a co-ed or if you have different separate gender,
Right.
So if we have close friends who just wanted their children, right, daughters and son, to go through the same school because they will have the same shared experience and they can talk about it, you know, during their family time. But for us, because we ended up placing our firstborn in August school because she really wanted it. Yeah, it was a family decisions.
Wow.
And she said that she wanted to go there. And we saw that the school matches her band. And we sent her there. But it also means that, you know…
Your son can go there. Yeah.
Of course. The enrollment.
Yeah, exactly.
Again.
Can you imagine 2 years later, two of us were like looking at each other. We're going to do this all over again.
Yeah.
But that's what's needful for our children.
Yeah.
I think taking a step back to make informed decisions, it will be helpful to really pray and ask God to show up information through your interactions or whenever they surface, right? For us, when we are in the midst of selecting the schools, we believe in walking the ground. That worked for us. Mm. We brought our kids to the different schools near our area for them to observe the culture, the kids. Just stand outside the school gate, look at how happy the children are or unhappy the children are.
Yeah.
If there are school tours available, I recall that there was this 1 year when we were registering our elder. There were still school tours available.
Mm.
We drive past to see the compound, whether they like the compound. Somehow, we believe also that God can speak to our kids, right? And they will take a liking to the schools. I mean, there are some channels actually we could think about, like the direct channels interacting with the staff community, information through alumni or even parents of existing students. Ask them things like, how do you find the teachers? How's the approach? Are the teachers happy? Because we also believe that happy teachers, happy kids, right? But if the teachers are so stressed, I wonder then what's going on during the class. Some indirect channels would be really, in terms of what they emphasize on through the school environment. I recall, right, Gary, we did visit one school and it was a very renowned school. But it was the only school that was within the 1K for us.
Mm.
But when we visited, we didn't quite feel that was suitable because we noticed the writings on the wall and how the kids were behaving or how they looked. And we thought, wow, we just can't imagine our firstborn being there.
Mm.
Versus visiting another one that is relatively unknown and we saw nice paintings of diverse paintings of children. It doesn't have to be perfect. They were just really doodles and paintings. But it showed us that, you know, they embrace diversity. They encourage imperfection. They just really wanted the children to feel proud of their work.
Mm.
So those were things that we took with us. We considered all of that as well.
Mm.
So I think most importantly, we just wanted to call out, we're still learning to listen and also to honor our children. I think, Pastor, what you called that out in the episode one as well. We believe that our children can hear from God themselves.
Yes.
They are not too young to be sensitive to the Spirit if we expose and teach them early, right? And early means now. It's never too late. So for both of our kids, we actually discussed the options with them. We told them the pros and cons of what we think, but asked them how they think. We prayed with them for hearing heart, brought them to walk the ground, and they end up having quite some strong preferences on their own. For a start, we try not to influence them too much. We have our own private conversations, but thankfully, you know, it all aligns and they end up taking ownership really of their choices.
So beautiful. It aligned because of the same Holy Spirit that works
on
you.
Mm.
And God was directing you in a particular way.
Yes.
And He does not make mistakes. He puts the same visioning in your hearts as He would do the children.
Yes.
In fact, when you're bringing your kids out to the different schools, you're also visioning them.
Yes.
You are doing what you've already been doing.
Yes.
Visioning how your kids will be in the future. And then you're teaching them how to vision by, hey, school compounds, school murals, you know, whatever's happening in the class, how our kids are behaving. These are all part of the visioning process, isn't it? Parents, I just want to say to you, it's not complicated to do a visioning exercise.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I just want to add on here. I think, you know, Gary and Chinfen, you had shared some really good practical tips. I remember when we enrolled our firstborn girl in the primary school and we first learned as much as we could about the school, just as you did. Its ethics, strong and weak points. We spoke with the others in the parenting community. We spoke about others who have sent their kids to that particular school, for example. You know, you can't really do parenting without community, is that right?
Yes.
Just wanted to emphasize that. And we wanted to make some informed choices, which is what you did as well.
Mm.
Especially when you have more than one school within your 1 or 2 kilometer distance. This will not only help us, but it'll help the child as well. It helps us to see when we go and vision the kids, it's not only helping us to make good decisions, it also helps the child because it helps us to ask boldly in prayer for the grace to accept the things we cannot change and to pray for the things we want to see changed. The way we saw it was that if we don't ask God, we don't get it.
Yep. Yeah.
So I love this. But Walters, we in vain if we didn't learn what was in the heart of our child. We wanted our daughter, in this case, our firstborn, to make her own decisions concerning this.
Mm.
We wanted her to own the decisions. So we brought her to the school to visit, to enable to catch the vibe. And you know what? Children are also sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. As someone who said this and I just bore witness in my heart, they have the same Holy Spirit as us.
Mm.
Not a mini Holy Spirit. And this is also a visioning that teaches our children the importance of visioning as well. I remember that she loved the school and agreed to willingly enroll into the school. Despite all odds, she got into that school.
Wow.
When she shouldn't be in that school. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how God even answered the prayers of a little child. And He was once again directing the arrow into this focus, which we visioned for the child.
Just to be very clear, right? We are not saying that our children are the ones making their own decision. Mm-hmm. We're not saying, oh, we just leave it to them. But we are saying that let's be involved, parents, right? Like, let's spend time and let's take time with them. And we guide them to hear the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We hear the Holy Spirit for ourselves and then we guide them to hear the Holy Spirit. And we are modeling. We're modeling for them
what
it looks like, you know, to lean into God, what it looks like to tap into the Holy Spirit Wi-Fi.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we are allowing them to really hear. And then we'll have conversations. So it's not leaving them to make their own decisions, really. I really love how you brought your children to see the school. Because seeing the school gives them a vision, right? Puts it in their mind's eye, you know, is this the kind of school you want to be in for the next 6 years? And that's so powerful, right? So it empowers them to lean into God and really just trust Him. And this will empower them for the rest of their lives to be able to deal with life's challenges and whatever is thrown at them. Yeah, so parents, we want to raise God-loving children who know whose they are and who they are in Christ.
So true.
Their identity as a beloved child of God sets them up to win battles of life and steward the success that Daddy God has for them. And we'll definitely get our speakers to speak about this in greater detail, so stick around. And Pastor, in closing, what's one thing you would like the parents to take away?
We've talked about so many things. We talked about how we define success in episode 1. We are talking about how do you make visioning a part of our lives as well as the children's lives.
Yep.
Because this sets them up not only for this entry into primary school, as Gary said, it's 6 years of their lives going forward. It's a long stretch. And that's not the only thing. It's only 6 years. It's going into secondary school and going forward. And the foundations we lay in our children will truly, truly, the visioning foundations will truly define their success. Is that right? So I just want to come back to this year again, you know, just by emphasizing these key points here. Can I just say this to your parents out there? Best choices are made with prayer.
Amen.
When the children and your child sees you praying, your child sees you leaning on the Holy Spirit, you are teaching them lessons for life.
Yeah.
You're teaching them, even if sometimes they don't get certain things and they see your response of resilience, to come back to trusting the Lord again, that again would be teaching them a lesson for life.
Yeah.
Is that right? When you're always bringing God in, good things come when they lean on God and they cast their cares on the Lord. And when they see the answer to their prayers, they will attribute it to the Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
The right answers come when they pray to the Lord. Again, it's about teaching them to lean into the Lord. Amen?
Yeah. Mm.
And when things don't come to pass, as I mentioned earlier, if you are cool about it, they'll be cool about it. Is that right?
Yes. If you're restful about it, they will be restful.
If we are restful about it, they'll be restful about it. If you're angsty about it, they'll be angsty about it.
Yeah.
Because they are learning our anxieties.
Yes. Mm.
They didn't come out fresh out of the womb with anxiety.
Yes.
They came out of the womb as restful as they could. It was mom who was, doing all the work. But they came out restful.
Yeah.
And as they came out into this world, they're like, okay, I'm just this putty, this clay. Can you just imprint on me?
Mm.
And whatever the parents are, they imprinted on the child.
Yeah.
And if the parent is cool, the child will be cool.
Yes.
Teach them that God is not done yet when things don't go their way. Mm. Your children need to learn that from you. If we go about like unbelieving believers, we don't help them anchor their faith.
Mm.
I just wanted to put that across.
That's so true.
Resilience comes from you, parents. We talk so much about resilience, but it comes from us.
Yeah.
Continuing to trust in the Lord, God will bring your desires to pass. I just want to say, reiterate and declare your vision before them constantly. This is one thing we do, Rachel and I. Again, we come back to the verses we have got for them. It says, you know what, son, this is your verse. This is how mom sees you. This is how dad sees you. This is how God sees you. Just in putting up their verse in front of them as they get older.
Yeah.
In their study, in front of their study tables. It just goes on. It's a journey that goes on, going on. Yeah. It's not just entering primary one.
Yes.
And I just want to say that they tend to believe, lastly, what you believe, parents. It strengthens their heart knowing that their parents have a relationship with Jesus and that they trust in our God's good graces.
Amen.
I just feel that that's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And this has been so enlightening, to say the least. So parents, the very first step to stressfully preparing our children for primary one is to choose God. In the natural, there's so much for us to think about when planning which school to send our precious young ones to. Chinfen and Gary have pointed all the things that they considered, and there's so much more that all of us would also think about. This reminds me of a story in the Bible. There was plenty on Martha's mind when Jesus and his disciples dropped by before dinner.
That's true.
Right? Like, as a mom who stays at home to cook, dinner time with unannounced guests, that's scary. But in Luke 10, the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So instead of worrying about choosing the right school, let's choose the right person, God.
Amen.
Amen.
So good.
Let's choose to be connected with Him and be plugged into Him at all times.
Amen.
Let's not be disconnected from the Holy Spirit Wi-Fi. Parents, when we choose God, we will always be the right person in the right place, at the right time, doing the right things.
Amen.
So this week, can we encourage you to jump in with the Lord and meditate on Isaiah 54 verse 13? All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace.
Amen.
And we declare that great shall be your peace. Also, we encourage you to go on a visioning exercise with your child and the Lord. Take a walk, have a conversation. Ask them what fears they might have going into primary one. Then take the opportunity to share with them your vision of them.
Beautiful.
How do you see them? Share verses or stories from the Bible based on your child's bent to help them visualize and be anchored to the word.
Amen.
For example, an arrow that hits the mark. Know that the Lord will paint a fresh vision for you as a family, and you will be so blessed. In our next episode, we want to prepare and equip you parents on how to restfully lead your family through this major transition. Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen will be back to share their insights with us, so be sure to tune in. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Grace-Based Living Podcast by New Creation Church. We hope you've enjoyed being a part of our conversation as we deep dived into what grace-based parenting looks like in your season. Till the next time, be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.